This day is March 27th, 2023. 2106, is that right? Can hardly read that. Just a minute. 2107 now. 2107 hours, Ward Green with you now. I know it's late in the day today on March 27th. And I've been very busy. I got up late because I went to bed fairly late, or very late actually. But I got up late and I have been working on a lot of different things to do with the fact that I'm making some new, well, I'll talk about it later, I guess. But I had to shop. The thing was, I had to shop. That's what it comes down to. And shopping can take a long time depending on what you're shopping for. I think I spent almost all the day shopping and trying to catch up on a few videos and things that are online. Some news. Rolex has come out with some new watches. Just came out today. They just released the information today about what their new watches are. So I watched a few of those videos too, but I don't want to talk much about that today. I would love to get the study done for today, and that would be enough because I'm still sleep deprived. I think I didn't feel sleep deprived yesterday when I started making the video, but by the end of the video I was definitely feeling a little bit sleep deprived, and I still haven't caught up on that extra day of sleep that I missed. So, and last night I didn't have a lot of sleep, so I'm definitely sleep deprived now. But our Wild Road article, it's always interesting, but it's important, and it's exciting to keep our study going in the Wild Road article. This is part one. Chapter five we're in right now, and it's paragraph two. While modern scholars place the year one of Sargon, this is the king of Akkad, the year one of Sargon about 2300 BCE, before the Common Era, we date it likewise as 2141 plus 161, which is 161 years prior to the commencement of the Assyrian Empire in 2141. And those two numbers, when added together, equal 2302. You can verify that. So that's in the Blessed Genealogy. It's 2302 before the Common Era, abbreviated as 2302 BG. With Sargon's reign as that of Belus, 55 years. In other words, Sargon and Belus are the same person, ostensibly, and they both had a reign of 55 years, which seems to harmonize with that idea. That reign is coming to an end about 2247 before Christ, or BCE. Because 2302 minus 55 is 2247 BCE, which dates rather close to the 2234 earliest astronomical record, because we calculated the earliest astronomical record from the 1903 years of records that were discovered in Babylon, added to the 331 BCE date in which they were discovered, so, or in which they ended. So 331 plus 1903 is 2234. So if there were 1903 consecutive years of records, which is what we've been told, then they could date as early as 2334 or 2234. But of course, we don't really know if these years of all those records, we haven't seen the records. We don't know how many of those records were consecutive years or what. I mean, we don't know anything very much about those records until we've seen them. But this is very close. 2247 is very close to 2234, looking at it from a from the point of view of these numbers being quite large, they're quite close. Sargon of Akkad, here's a quote. Sargon of Akkad is the first king to rule Akkad. That's an important point. He's the first king of Akkad. And he's famous for having first created the modern zodiac. Very important man, then, as far as the zodiac is concerned. He's the creator of the modern zodiac. The name of the book that he wrote is called Observations of Bel, or maybe he didn't write it, but it's associated with him. Maybe he commenced it. We don't really know much about that either, I suspect. These are ancient artifacts or documents. So this book, Observations of Bel, is Sargon's 70-volume work, made a standard of Babylonian astronomy and astrology. It was made a standard. Child sacrifice, this is the horrific part, by burning, where they burnt their children in the fire, was also practiced by these Babylonians, a detestable act. Detestable act, logged in the same book. It is probable, here's another quote, New World Encyclopedia, it is probable that the first collection of astronomical observations and terrestrial omens was made for a library established by Sargon. So the New World Encyclopedia thinks that Sargon had something to do with the first collection. He had something important to do with the first collection of astronomical observations. So this is an important book, the Observations of Bel. Bel is the god that they worshipped. The Akkadians worshipped a god called Bel. And so these observations were their observations of their god in the sky. They worshipped the astrology of the sky. And they did bad things to their children as a consequence of what they learned from the sky. It was a bad thing that they did in many of their things that they did. They were based on false worship. But it gives us some information about chronology that's very important, because it helps to confirm that we're in the right time frame here for the time of the Babylonian, not the Babylonian, the Akkadian. The Akkadian dynasty, which was in the place of Babylon. It was in Babylon, in the area, the region of Babylon, but it was called the Akkadian Empire that began, and it preceded, in fact, by 161 years, the Assyrian Empire, which succeeded the dynasty of Akkad in 2141. So it's sometime before 2141, if we've got the 2141 correct, and it's about 161 years earlier, it would be the beginning of Sargon's reign. Sargon's reign being 2302 BCE in the Blessed Genealogy, and the end of his reign 55 years later being 2247 BCE, which is very close to when these astronomical observations begin, assuming that there aren't any missing and so on. I mean, I don't think we have enough information to be completely accurate. It's a very close correspondence, even though it's not accurate. Okay, so let's look at our Bible study for today. Yeah, I feel very good in health. I'm not feeling at all bad in my health. It's just I'm sleep deprived. And I know I need sleep, and I know, you know, I'm not very physically tired, I'm just sleep deprived. So it's very good as far as, it's been a great winter, it's been a great January and February, I've said it before, and I feel like I'm recovered. I can eat the dairy, but I can't eat too much, but I can eat dairy again. I had a wonderful latte in the morning, no problem. And I even took my vitamin D today, but not a large amount. I took, I think, what did I take? 2,000 units, but a little more than that because I took my multivitamin, which has it. It also has vitamin D. So I ended up taking a reasonable amount of vitamin D today, but I also took a lot of other nutrients, all my other supplements I took today. My vitamin, you know, or at least my krill oil, which has vitamin A in it. Well, I even took the cod liver oil, right, which has got vitamin A and D. It's got vitamin D. That's right. I took the cod liver oil today. There's a lot of vitamin D in cod liver oil. A teaspoon of that. I wonder how many units of vitamin D is in that. Maybe 500 units or maybe more. I don't even know that. Let's look that up. How many units of vitamin D in 1 teaspoon of cod liver oil? Yeah, it's 450 units. It's not too different from what I thought. I don't know where I got the number, but probably I thought these little gel caps, though, that you take of cod liver oil had a lot of vitamin D in them after I said this, but this is about right, though. Per teaspoon, 450 is right. So that was Jehovah, because I didn't really know that. Now let's read Genesis chapter 27. So I took, you know, at least 2,500 units of vitamin D today, international units, with no adverse effects or anything, you know, unless it's causing me to be drowsier than normal. I don't think that's true. I'm very sleep deprived. When I woke up today, I was completely, I felt like I was about 5 hours sleep, and I was, you know, I'm getting a slight headache right now, but I didn't have any headaches today at all. Just getting a very slight headache. Not sure. I'm going to drink some more water once I'm done with this video, making the video here. Let's read Genesis 27, shall we, little children? It's a very important chapter in the Bible. We wouldn't want to miss it. It's got a wonderful application to the history of, to the way, what am I going to say here? It's got a great importance to with regard to helping us to understand how Jehovah does things, because Jehovah allowed something very unusual to happen here in this chapter. So let's read this. Now it came about that when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, he then called Esau, his older brother, and said to him, "My son." At which he said to him, "Here I am." And he went on to say, "Hear now, I have become old. I do not know the day of my death. So, at this time, please, take your implements, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt some venison for me. Then make me a tasty dish, such as I am fond of, and bring it to me, and let me eat in order that my soul may bless you before I die." However, Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went on out into the field to hunt game and to bring it in. And Rebekah said to Jacob, her son, her other son, "Here, I just heard your father speaking to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me some game and make me a tasty dish. And let me eat that I may bless you before Jehovah, before my death. And now, my son, listen to my voice in what I am commanding you. Go, please, to the herd and get me from there 2 kids of the goats, good ones, that I may make them up into a tasty dish for your father, such as he is fond of. Then you must bring it to your father, and he must eat it in order that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob proceeded to say to Rebekah, his mother, "But Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. A smooth man. What if my father feels me? Then I shall certainly become, in his eyes, like one making a mockery, and I shall certainly bring upon myself a malediction and not a blessing. At this his mother said to him, Upon me be the malediction meant for you, my son. Only listen to my voice, and go get them for me. Accordingly he went, and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made a tasty dish, such as his father was fond of. After that, Rebekah took garments of Esau, her older son, garments, the most desirable ones which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son, and the skins of the kids of the goats she put upon his hands and upon the hairless part of his neck. Then she gave the tasty dish and the bread that she had made into the hand of Jacob, her son. So he went on in to his father and said, My father! To which he said, Here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob went on to say to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you have spoken to me. Raise yourself up, please. Sit down and eat some of my game in order that your soul may bless me. At that Isaac said to his son, How is it that you have been so quick in finding it, my son? In turn he said, Because Jehovah your God caused it to meet up with me. Then Isaac said to Jacob, Come near, please, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob came near to Isaac his father, and he went feeling him, after which he said, The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him, because his hands proved to be hairy, like the hands of Esau, his brother. Hence he blessed him. After that he said, You are really my son Esau? To which he said, I am. Then he said, Bring it near to me, that I may eat some of the game of my son, to the end that my soul may bless you. May bless you. With that, he brought it near to him, and he began to eat. And he brought him wine, and he began to drink. Then Isaac his father said to him, Come near, please, and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him, and he could smell the scent of his garments. And he proceeded to bless him and to say, See, the scent of my son is like the scent of the field, which Jehovah has blessed. And may the true God give you the dews of the heavens and the fertile soils of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. Let peoples serve you and let national groups bow low to you. Become master over your brothers and let the sons of your mother bow low to you. Cursed be each one of those cursing you, and blessed be each one of those blessing you. Now it came about as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob. Yes, it indeed came about that when Jacob had barely come out from before the face of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came back from his hunting, and he too went about making a tasty dish. Then he brought it to his father and said to his father, Let my father get up and eat some of his son's game, in order that your soul may bless me. At this Isaac his father said to him, Who are you? To which he said, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. And Isaac began to shake with a great trembling in extreme measure. And so he said, Who then was it that hunted for game and came bringing it to me so that I ate of everything before you could come in, and I blessed him. Blessed, too, he will become. On hearing his father's words, Esau began to cry out in an extremely loud and bitter manner, and to say to his father, Bless me, even me too, my father. But he went on to say, your brother came with deception, that he might get the blessing meant for you. At this, he said, is that not why his name is called Jacob, in that he should supplant me these two times? My birthright he has already taken, and here at this time he has taken my blessing. Then he added, have you not reserved a blessing for me? But in answer to Esau, Isaac continued, here I have appointed him master over you, and all his brothers I have given to him as servants, and grain and new wine I have bestowed for his support. And where is there anything I can do for you, my son? Then Esau said to his father, is there just one blessing that you have, my father? Bless me, even me too, my father. With that, Esau raised his voice and burst into tears. So in answer, Isaac his father said to him, behold, away from the fertile soils of the earth your dwelling will be found, and away from the dew of the heavens above. And by your sword you will live, and your brother you will serve. But it will certainly occur that when you grow restless, you will indeed break his yoke off your neck. However, Esau harbored animosity for Jacob on account of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau kept saying in his heart, the days of the period of mourning for my father are getting closer. After that, I am going to kill Jacob, my brother. When the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah, she at once sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, look, Esau, your brother, is comforting himself in regard to you, to kill you. Now then, my son, listen to my voice and get up, run away to Laban, my brother, at Haran, and you must dwell with him for some days until the rage of your brother calms down, until the rage of your brother turns away from you, and he has forgotten what you have done to him. And I shall certainly send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of both of you in one day? After that, Rebekah kept saying to Isaac, I have come to abhor this life of mine because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob ever takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like these from the daughters of the land, of what good is life to me? And that's the end of Genesis chapter 27. Now the daughters of Heth were the wives from Genesis chapter 26 of Esau. They were the wives of Esau in Genesis chapter 26, verse 35, which we read yesterday in our study. His Hittite wives, which were the daughters of Heth. Hittite being a word that comes from the name Heth. They were Hittites. They were the sons or daughters, in this case, daughters of Heth. And these were the wives that Esau took for himself. And his parents, Isaac and Rebekah, were very much embittered by this, that they had to put up with or suffer this unfortunate reality that their son had married among the daughters of the Hittites, which was not desirable for the Israelites because Jehovah had commanded them not to take wives from the daughters of the land at the time when they first occupied the promised land. Of course, I'm thinking of a later time, actually. They were not to take these wives from the daughters of Heth. But it's true, it was a fact in later days. At the time of Joshua, when the Israelites returned to the promised land. But at this time, it simply was not customary to take daughters from a foreign nation. This is before the law of Moses, so there were no laws about this yet. It was just something that was understood. You would take a daughter of your own family, of your relatives, to marry. Because in this case, of course, Abraham and his wife worshipped Jehovah. They wanted to be having a family which all held in common the same worship, the worship of the same God, Jehovah, because they conducted their lives differently from the peoples of the land, who worship false gods, and perhaps they even practiced child sacrifice, all sorts of bad things that these people did. Well, we know that some of them did practice child sacrifice, not just the people who lived in Mesopotamia, like as we were talking about in our study in the Wild Road article about the dynasty of Akkad, and the people who lived there over near Babylon, which is east of Israel, or east of the Promised Land, Canaan, where Abraham was dwelling. But even in the land of Canaan, there were nations who worshipped these false gods as well. It was a common practice. If they didn't worship Jehovah, they had to worship something, because it's in man's nature. He wants to worship. Humans want to worship, so they choose gods for themselves. If they don't have the true God, they have to find some god to worship, and they worship, in some cases, these false evil gods, these false gods that cause them to practice very, very evil practices against their own families, even. Anyway, it was a very bad thing that was talked about or written about there, about how Isaac and Rebecca felt about the daughters of Heth marrying their son. They just, it was a great source of bitterness, and we don't know the details, but we know, we can understand it was a source of bitterness for the reasons which I've just mentioned. They didn't have the same worship of the same God, and so they didn't behave the same way. You know, they didn't treat one another the same way with love, for example, would be one obvious consequence of not worshiping the true God who personifies love. If we worship gods who do not personify love, then we get the fruitage of that worship, which is not going to be love. It's not going to be loving behavior. So that's the end of today's study. I'm not overly tired. I'm not overly tired that I couldn't talk longer, but I don't think I'm going to say a very large number of intelligent things at this point. Oh, there is a scripture I wanted to share. In Proverbs, that's right, I almost forgot. Today's proverb is from Proverbs 10 and 5, and it says, "The son acting with insight is gathering during the summertime. The son acting shamefully is fast asleep during the harvest." So that's some food for thought. And it's March 27th, 2023. It's 21:35 hours Eastern Daylight Time. That's right, Eastern Daylight Time. My name's Ward Green. I love you. Have a wonderful day. Praise Jehovah. And worship Jehovah and have faith in his Son, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One of God. Bye for now.